If you came here this morning to hear a clear and comprehensive explanation of the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, then you're approximately 2 hours late. Get the tape of Jay speaking at the 9 o'clock service. I want to do something rather differently this morning and ask you, in one sense, to set aside the expectations of stuff about Trinity. And let me tell you a story. And we'll get back to something at the end, perhaps. I made a new friend this week. She gave me permission to tell you something of her story, but I've changed one or two items to keep a degree of confidentiality anyway. Sandra, she's in her 50s. She generally lives alone. But some years ago, she started to look after a little girl called Sarah after school. Sarah normally lives with Mum, who doesn't get home from work till late, and sometimes has to work away. So it's been really quite good for young Sarah to go and spend time at Sandra's house for a few hours each school day, and sometimes staying overnight for a few days. Sandra has grown to love little Sarah and dreams about her future. She has been imagining Sarah moving up from the Rainbows, where she's now, to the Brownies, making new friends there, going on camp in the summer. She's been imagining Sarah going down to the shops on her own and even into town. She imagines Sarah as a teenager, playing pop music too loud and giving Sandra a headache. She imagines Sarah getting her own home and hopes that she will live long enough to see Sarah settle down. I met Sandra at a conference where we spent a long time talking about our hopes and our dreams for the future. Sandra had a dream for Sarah. It's an ordinary, everyday dream, the sort of dream that everyone in our little group at the conference could identify with, and I hope you can identify with that as well. In a very simple way, we were bonded together by sharing that dream. We understood each other. Our hearts were in tune. We felt quite a significant sense of warmth. Although Sandra didn't tell us everything that was in her heart, different members of the group could kind of fill out the picture, could colour in bits, could imagine Sandra in the kitchen with the bacon sizzling in the morning and Sarah as a teenager upstairs and refusing to get up till the last possible moment. Imagine Sarah defiantly ignoring her homework obligations and up in a room with three or four friends. You see, we understood the dream. We shared that sense of what it actually added up to. Because really, we had a part of that dream inside ourselves. And by talking about it, we were bonded closely together. Love grew. Hope grew. We became friends in that little circle, as we shared a dream. I wonder what your dream is for St. Nick's. If this was a workshop with participation, I'd ask you to talk to your neighbour for a minute or two and share what your dream is. I won't do it now, but perhaps you'd like to speak to somebody after the service. The question would be, what is your dream for St. Nick's? Forget the limits of money and personalities and your memory of disappointments, or just focus on your dream for this fellowship. It might be ordinary, like Sandra's dream for Sarah, or it might be outrageous, impossible, ambitious. What's your dream? Just touch that dream for a moment. You see, we're so locked into the status quo and tasks and action plans and doing things that we rarely spend time touching the dream. Home groups talk about the Bible or about the problems that we as individuals have had today, and we rarely talk about our dream. Sermons tend to provide theological constructs as though they were scientific facts. I want to suggest to you that when we begin to acknowledge the dream, we sense hope. Sometimes we sense pain. Our spirit is touched, and we feel something of the mystery and the beauty of life. The things that we know about God, the solid, the dependable things, are like a pile of steel beams. Solid, certain, dependable. But what do you build out of them? Sometimes it feels to me like I use these steel beams to build a cage so that my little God and me are in a fixed place, imprisoned inside my certainties, domesticated, secure. Instead, I want to take apart that cage, take the steel beams of that certainty, and build something else. I want to build a pier that reaches far out into the sea of God. I want to walk right to the end of that pier and lean over as far as I can and strain my eyes to see the horizon. God is big, mysterious, endlessly fascinating and unknown. The deep, deep love of Jesus is vast and unending as the sea. The dream is about mystery. It's about something beyond our reach. It's about something bigger than we are that makes us feel small and yet somehow safe. The next thing we were asked to do at my conference this week was to remember the future. To go forward in time about a year. It's a planning strategy. You go forward in time about a year, and then you imagine what the year that you've just lived through has looked like. You guess what will have happened, and you describe your ideas as though those things have already taken place. It's a way of getting a vision, getting a picture, getting some of the steps on the way to the future. Remembering the future. Sandra began by remembering Sarah going up to the Brownies. She remembered how it took Sarah some time to make friends. But by November 1977, she had stayed overnight at a friend's house. Sandra realised she was going to need to get to know some of the mums and some of the helpers at Brownies a little bit. And so she cleared some space in her file of facts and in her heart for those new people. Somebody else in the group remembered Sarah getting a new tape recorder at Christmas so she could play her favourite music better, louder, and at more inconvenient times. Another person remembered Sarah going to a new school in September and remembered the welcome of the class teacher and the way in which Sandra and the teacher had gradually grown to trust each other. Lots of the components of the dream began to come true in small ways, as they were discussed and remembered. It's marvellous, actually, to spend half an hour or so getting a detailed vision of next year, building up a picture, populating it with the people in Sarah's world, remembering what they said to each other, how they responded, and what people did when things went wrong. Oh, I nearly forgot. They visited Disneyland in America in November 1977 as well. It's quite a month. I want to mention all this because Sandra and Sarah's life is a parable for St. Nick's. Christianity, you see, is loaded with a dream. If we'd only lift up our eyes and pay attention to it. As a church fellowship, we've been called to love one another. But we need to invent some memories of how we progress from the present to the future. The parable of Sandra and Sarah has two more vital points for us. The first is the importance of the individual. Sarah wants that future that Sandra described to our group. She is a vivacious child, full of fun and laughter. Her friends at the new school are going to have a little bit of language learning to do because Sarah doesn't use words. She wants to go out. There's a small problem there, because Sarah doesn't walk. Just last weekend, Sandra found somebody who'd got a kind of bodysuit, a walking aid, which gives Sarah the support that she needs. They helped her to get inside the thing. And she stood, balanced, motionless, for about 3 or 4 minutes, scared. And then she tentatively took the first step. Didn't fall over. She was away. Within a moment, she'd signed for the patio door to be opened, and she was off and halfway down the cul-de-sac. And Sandra shouted, "Where are you going?" And she turned around and she signed back, "I'm going down to the shop to get some sweets." The bodysuit cost £1,500. And Sandra phoned round and found somebody. Found somebody had got a spare one lying in their garage unused. And in a weekend or two's time, they're going down to pick it up. Sarah wants to be able to turn her tape recorder on and off herself. But Sandra has no idea where to find a switch that's sensitive enough for Sarah to control. But surely, if we can fly to the moon, surely somebody out there can design a switch that she can use. You see, Sarah matters. Her dreams for an ordinary life, for friends, for independence, they matter just as much as your dreams or mine. But so very often, our dreams are buried, crushed, starved of hope and encouragement, and they wither and die. This sermon is not about disability, it's about individuality. It's about the dreams we all have. It's about the struggles that we hide from one another. About the value of the individual person. Sarah matters. So does Sandra. What will Sandra do to keep her energy high, to avoid burnout, to nurture herself? All around the conference last week, people were asking one another where they found strength, where they got re-energized, what they did to set aside the burdens for a while. And here and there around that conference room, tears began to fall as people were given space to be themselves. Perhaps for the first time in such a long time, because each one of us is important. You see, we worship one God, one person, and the fact of his individuality, his identity, his uniqueness makes each one of us special and unique individuals as well. We're made in his image, and the message of Christianity is that each one of us is valued, is important. Each one of us is special. You're not the job you do. You're not even the relationships you have. You are not the skills you exercise. You are you. Valuable, special, unique, and wonderful. My parable is not a parable of Sarah and a carer. My parable is of Sandra and Sarah. Both of them matter. Both of them important. Both need to be listened to, their nightmares and their dreams heard and valued. Sandra, Sarah, you, 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 me. Sandra's a dreamer and a fighter. She was determined to fight for her dream for little Sarah. It was such an ordinary dream, and yet it will take everything that Sandra has got to see it fulfilled. It's important that we have dreams for one another. Someone called Connie Martinez has a similar background to little Sarah. And Connie wrote that as she was growing up, her parents had a dream for her brother and sisters. Dreams of university and grandchildren. But they never had a dream for Connie. And because they never had a dream for her, she never had a dream for herself. We cannot impose our dream on others, but the underlying hope is contagious. Sandra had a dream for Sarah, but we can't do it alone. If we're in for the long haul, we need others around us. Sandra will need Brown Owl if Sarah's to go to brownie camp. Sarah will need friends at school who are willing to learn a few signs and who will go beyond the image and meet the person. The dream is a dream of people in community, people in relationship, people belonging. It's impossible to imagine a positive future for Sarah that is not full of people. It's impossible to imagine a positive future for Sandra too, that is not full of people. As we talk to each other in this conference, there is a real sense of bonding, a real sense of we're in this together. What we do to support one another, to achieve one another's dream, is something that can only happen if we share it together. And the one God we worship is three in intimate relationship with one another. As we look up to God, as we look up to heaven, we see a community. How can the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be one and yet three? Roy McLaughlin said the other week that there is no Christian theology of the individual. There is no Christian theology of the individual. There is only a theology of the individual in community. If we focus on community and forget the preciousness of the individual, we burn out. And if we focus on the individual and forget the importance of community, we dry up. So I close by summarising the three points I've tried to make here on this Trinity Sunday. Trinity speaks to us of the mystery of God, the vast and endless sea of his love. And the dream is perhaps a motif of that stuff that's beyond our sensible, rational, logical comprehension. The mystery of God. Trinity speaks to us of the uniqueness of each individual, whatever our gifts. Trinity speaks to us of interdependence and community and our need to build the love we share for one another. Dream on. Let's pray.